Never mind, you guys can't hear me. I was just talking away, saying I'm not turning my camera on tonight. Taylor was supposed to be with you guys tonight, and her client went into labor, a little stinker. So she is at the hospital. Anyway, it has been raining like crazy here, and I look a hot mess. Let me see how everyone's doing. Who's all on here? Make sure you edit your name so I know exactly what's going on. Ashley, how are you?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. Been a pretty rough week, not gonna lie.
Oh, tell me about it.
Close to this time last year, I lost my dad. So the closer it gets, the harder it's kind of coming back. So he passed on the 23rd, and at that same time, I was actually going through a miscarriage and ended up losing the baby the day after.
Oh my goodness.
So all that emotions are coming back. So just trying to take it one day at a time. And it doesn't help with this little man. I feel like we can't catch a break. We ended up getting diagnosed with thrush.
Do you have it too?
I do.
Oh, it's so painful.
So painful, but I've still been able to nurse. I've just bite the bullet and I'm still nursing, so my supply, I think, is still good. And so he's cleared up. I'm still kind of in pain a little bit. So they treated me again just to be on the safe side, because I don't want to reinfect him. So I think we're finally on the up and up. It just seems like the last, I don't know, few weeks have been like one thing after another. So hopefully we're on the up and up. And he's, doing okay, but I think we're hitting that leap time, because he's getting a little fussier, and he's, awake a little bit longer. But he also, I think, is dealing with reflux. So I'm waiting on a prescription from the doctor. So hopefully that will help him a lot, because he's struggling with it pretty bad.
And do you have anyone that can help you?
I did. So I my mom was here for a while, and then my mother-in-law just left yesterday, and today was a good day. He did very well. Just I got sleep. So hopefully he has his good and bad nights. Last night was a semi okay night. I ended up kind of slept with him out on the chair, kind of sleeping up, because he was kind of struggling with his reflux. So I'm hoping we can get the prescription tomorrow. But yeah, we're hanging in there.
I'm turning my camera on, y'all, but I look rough. Amy, you got lucky because I wasn't supposed to be on here tonight. It was supposed to be Taylor, but her client went into labor. So, yeah, I'm looking rough. I'm tired. I was out. We got caught, and we had this horrible storm here in Nashville, and I got caught out in it. No idea it was coming. We had hail, supposed to bring snow. Yeah. So,
We
anyway.
got an inch and a half here, and it's all gone.
Oh, yeah. Well, we don't know how to deal with it here in the South. Where are you at?
I'm in Kansas.
Oh, yeah. You probably can deal with it better than us.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're here and I'm glad you have us. I was trying to tell someone the other day, like, what a utter surprise this postpartum happy hour has been. Like, even for Taylor and I, like, it's just been so incredible. And I hope you guys, like, Really love this. I can't, like, I've thought a lot just from listening to you guys and hearing like you share things and being like, man, I wish I would have had this when my babies were little, because it's just so valuable to be able to say so few words and everyone, understand like what you're going through. That little, I'm just watching Kylie's little baby moving around the screen and I'm dying the whole, like, it's just so sweet. Well, okay, so here's what I'm gonna do. I'm going to start with the newest mommies. And I think that is Amy, because those babies are unpredictable. And then hear your stories, and then I'll kind of move through. So I'm gonna go to Amy, and then it looks like Kylie, and then we've got Sarah, and then Cal, and then we've got Susan and Kayla, and then Liz is the old school around here right now. All right, so let me go and let's see. Amy, come on here. So
Hello.
did you like my post I made on your Facebook with the waters?
Did I see it?
So she went into labor on her
Oh.
birthday and her water broke. So she texted me. So we know each other in real life. She texted me, and then of course, me, I don't use social media. Like, I'm not that person. So I never know when anybody's birthday is. But I just happened
Oh,
to
that's
get I happened to get on there and realize it's her birthday, and we've been talking all day about her water break, and I had no idea it was her birthday. So I wrote happy birthday and then put every water emoji I could find.
What a gift. What a gift.
Yeah.
So here's the sleepy little man.
Oh, those cheeks. Gosh, she
I
reminds
know.
me so much of your sister's babies.
Oh, I see so much of Finn. I mean, just look at him. Look at those cheeks. My birthday was on January 7th, and around, let's see. So I was sitting in my recliner right here because this is where I feel like the only place I could get comfortable most of my pregnancy, well, towards the end. I kind of dozed off, but I woke up to him being really high up in my ribs, and I was like, okay, I need to sit on the yoga ball to kind of shift them down. I was sitting on it for like maybe 10 minutes, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna get back in the recliner. Sat in the recliner, and it felt like someone had popped a water balloon in my lap. Like, I was like, I looked at my husband. I was like, I'm pretty sure my water just broke. And I was 38 weeks, 4 days on that day. But I really thought he was gonna come earlier than my due date the whole time. The entire pregnancy, I was like, I think he's gonna be earlier than that. And so,
Oh, Lord.
I looked at,
My
I know
boob
I've,
is hanging out.
well, I've sent pictures to my sister and I was like, you need to delete that. I didn't realize my boob was just in it. But so yeah, it was like 4:30,
I was thinking it
water
was
broke.
3:30.
Yeah, your time.
Oh, that's right. Okay. I forgot we're time difference. I knew right in my head, because I think, like, just being the labor nurse, I noted the time right when you told me.
And so, but I didn't have any contractions, so my water broke. And like hobbled to the bathroom as I'm like, here's my pants are soaked. It was just so weird. And so I looked at my husband, I was like, well, I don't have, I'm like 99% sure that's my water. I didn't feel like I had to pee, and it's just coming, still coming. So I like put a pad on and then called my sister. And I was like, I'm pretty sure this is what just happened. And she has the same OB. She's like, well, just call, like you can call it whatever, on-call person. And right after I called and left a message, I was like, no, I need to call Trish. So I called Trish right after. And both of them just said, like, wait several hours because no contractions and just gotta wait it out. So my husband's like kind of just doing stuff around the house. I'm like washing dishes and trying to clean the house up because I could. I didn't feel anything really. And I don't think we went into the hospital until after 8:30 or 9 because my blood pressure kind of was
Yeah, she
feeling weird.
freaked
And
me out
I
with the
took,
blood pressure.
which was so weird because the last doctor's appointment or two, it was higher for me. It wasn't like scary high, but it was higher for me. And so I was wondering if like, okay, maybe this is
You
going to be something
also
that
told me
happens.
it was high and you had a headache.
Yes. Which was newer. Again, it was like one of those headaches that it's like, I feel like this is something, and I think it's attached to my blood pressure. And I had just gotten a blood pressure cuff that day from a friend. Like, I hadn't had one at home. But she's like, here, borrow this, because I had dropped off food for her, whatever. So took it,
and it was still high. When I got to the hospital, they took it and it was lower. It wasn't like, it was probably the lower, like top number was lower. The bottom number was still kind of high.
Which is what we were.
Good to know.
Yeah.
But then like once I was admitted and stuff, it was fine. It kind of stabilized. Probably it was a mixture of emotions and all the things. And yeah.
That's what I said to you. I felt like it was probably anxiety. If you hadn't had the headache, I wouldn't have been as worried about it. But you just don't mess around with that.
And it was weird too, because I'm a worrier by nature, but I wasn't really worried. Like it just kind of like, you just kind of do it. It was so strange. The whole process, the entire process. I was like, now I get why, how people do it. Like and honestly too, Trish, like I'm not kidding. Just thinking through resources that you gave us and tips that you gave us and just so much that like I went in with enough information, not overeducated to where I was like making myself freak out of all the things that could or couldn't go, even with the epidural, because let me back up a little bit. I got there, still no contractions. So I didn't start. They started me on Pitocin, a low dose at like 1 a.m. And I labored from 1 a.m. to about 6. And those last few, they were really, really strong, but really short. And so I could like, because they were short, I knew I could breathe through them. They were like 10, max 30 seconds long. But my husband was like, I feel like if you don't get it, the epidural soon, I don't want you to miss it. Which I was just trying to get, I don't know what it is. I don't remember, Trish, what the like number is you need to be dilated to get an epidural. Is there one?
No, not really.
Okay. For some reason, I thought it was like 4. So the moment she said I was at 4, I was like, I think it's time for the epidural. So from like 6:30, I got it. And I was a new woman. I was like, I could do this forever. Like, because I could just, the good thing was, and the really interesting thing was, feeling the pressure of a contraction, but not the pain. Like I knew when one was coming, or I knew when I had one, especially there at the end. Had I not gotten to 10, I got to 10 centimeters right around noon. And I was feeling more than I could tell that the epidural might've been starting to wear off a little bit, but I didn't want to get more. I was like, I don't want to be totally, dead legged and like out of it.
Yeah.
But feeling the pressure was a really, really cool thing, honestly, to be able to still have control and to be like a part of the process without the pain that was like making me, you know, just kind of completely out of it. But I pushed from about 12:40 until he was born at 2:11. And it was honestly it's not like I had some like super specific plan for my birth, but I feel like the day went exactly how I would have planned it. It was such a gift. And what was sweet too is we had a really good night nurse, but I have a friend who is a nurse at this hospital, and she walks in at shift change at 7 a.m. right after I got the epidural, and I could have cried. She is the most like quiet, confident person. She has such a sweet spirit. We go to church together. Like the moment she walked in, she was just like exactly what
I know or no.
I don't think so. Her name's Logan. She's younger, so she probably wasn't around. So in the room was my husband, my sister, and my mom, all from 6 a.m. So right after I got the epidural is pretty much when they got there. And this nurse, my friend, and her, she was training somebody. It was just a really, like, I just know, and even talking to Kai a little bit, like, about her, that's what she walked through. Like, I know, like, I'm just so incredibly grateful for the gift of what that day was, because it could have gone so many directions just with even being induced and all this stuff. And so I just like my friend, she basically did the whole pushing process up until the head, you know, up until it's time and the doctor walks in. And
she was your labor nurse.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, okay. Yes. I wasn't sure if she just worked there and she had just gotten off or something. Okay.
So I had texted, I had texted my group of like girls from church, and she was in that group and she didn't respond. But so she knew, but she woke up to that message and was like, okay, I'm going to work today.
I'm getting Amy.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it was just like, I don't know what else to share to say, but it was
awesome. How are you feeling now? How are you sleeping?
Oh my gosh. Am I sleeping? When I went to the pediatrician today, he asked me how we were doing. I was like, it's a whole new type of healing. It is like, there are parts of my body that are healing that I never knew I would have felt. And yeah. I had a second degree tear, so I've got several stitches. I asked the doctor, he's like, I don't really count stitches, but let me think, maybe like 14. I was like, that sounds like a lot to me. So
that's a good amount. Yeah. She's like, oh shoot. Yeah. Well, I'm so glad to see you. I want to drive over and see you for sure. It's just so crazy right now. Yeah.
I know.
I was thinking about the weekend after Fearless Birth ends, maybe not this weekend, but the next.
Yeah.
I would love to. I'd love to meet him. I've been praying for this girl a long time.
Long time.
Have this baby. I thought for sure it was going to happen sooner. So some of you guys may have remember Amy was on the happy hour. She was at my last birth, but I got I got moody and kicked her out.
She did.
Yeah. So it happens. You just whatever happens in your birth happens.
Yes, anyway. Truly.
Yeah, her and my girls were playing games and I was really hitting transition and they were laughing and being silly and it got on my last nerve. I was like,
oh, I would have kicked me out too if I was like, you are a kinder woman for letting us stay as long as you did.
Anyway, well, I'm so glad you shared. Thank you so much for sharing.
Yes.
Okay. Now Kylie, she's got that little naked baby like going through the screen, just catching my attention.
He's a ham. We were just doing skin to skin before we jumped on. So I just love touching his little skin, leaving him out. But first, well, before I share anything, I just want to say like what a blessing it has been. Like Fearless Birth and like the happy hour that you're talking about Amy being on, I friended her on Instagram afterwards. And so like we've been talking pretty much every day. And it's
I love it. So, I was wondering if she met you when she said that, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah, no. So just from like doing that and I friended her on Instagram. And so we've been talking like every day and it's just been so nice to have someone to like go through it with. So
I really encourage all of you guys to do that because Brooke and Beatrice did that and they really connected. It's really sweet to have someone right in the throw of what you're in.
Yeah. And we're only like 3 days, like our boys were born 3 days apart. So it's been nice.
And I want to say this really quick because Jake pointed this out, my husband, when Kylie and I were talking and Kylie had just shared, I was like, Jake, listen to like what she just walked through. And Jake was like, you need to tell Trish just what, like, just how impactful what you're doing is, Trish. Like, not only are you educating women all over, Kylie and I would have never found each other. Like, it was because I like babbled on Instagram about how much I loved Labor Nurse Mama and you, Labor Nurse Mama, reshared it. I think she found me.
Yeah.
And it was just like, all of that would not have happened had you not been in this. So I just had to say like, what you're doing matters and is making a huge impact.
Good. Yeah.
I'm in a crying mood today. So yeah. And Brooke just said, it's the best. We still talk every day. So I really encourage you guys to find that like, mama that's at the same point, like just connect. And it may take connecting with a couple different ones to find the right person that you connect with. But there is something super powerful in that. Like I have a really good friend who, of course, our kids are older now, but like same thing. And it's not like we do life together, but we connect and we talk, like we text when we see something funny, or if she's out and she'll see a book or something she knows I would like, she'll send me, you know, like, and we've not done a lot of real life together, but I count her as one of my dearest friends. So, you know, I love that. Well, tell us, Kylie, how are you?
I'm going to give Callan to my husband because he definitely just like pooped all over me and it stinks.
That's always fun.
Good. And dig him.
That little body. This is why I have so many kiddos.
Yeah. And he's so tiny. He's only 7 pounds. So he's like.
Amy was talking, I was like, she said she could do it all day when she had the epidural, but I feel that way even unmedicated.
Oh my gosh. I wish that I could have gone without the epidural, but.
Yeah, I've had a family member be like, you're the only sicko that can watch a birth and all that pain and be like, oh my God, I want to do it again.
I can't wait to do it again. Yeah, definitely not on the let's do it again boat quite yet. But so on, I guess, what was it, Wednesday, my water broke, which I was like super disappointed about. I was obviously really excited because I was ready to have my baby, but I was GBS positive. And so I knew that like the timeline really started for me when my water broke. So we stayed home for like 3 hours. I had no contractions at all. Even when we got to the hospital and they hooked me up, my husband, well, like I told you, he was like watching the monitor and telling the nurse, he's like, oh, she's having a contraction. They're this many minutes apart. And I couldn't feel.
I was laughing so hard at that.
Yeah, I literally couldn't feel anything. So we got there. I was only 1.5 centimeters and 70% effaced. And that was at like 6 p.m. And the doctor came back in at 7 o'clock in the morning and I was still 1.5 centimeters, but 100% effaced. So that I knew that they, you know, were going to be like, all right, it's time to do something. So as much as I didn't want Pitocin, we did. And then I really started to like feel my contractions. I went like 7 hours and it just hit me so hard. And like, kind of like Amy said, I was just like, yeah, I can't. I didn't. My nurse knew that I really.
Peace out.
Yeah, she knew I didn't want an epidural, and she came in the room, and I was like crying. She's like, "I told you I wasn't gonna ask. So if you want it, like, you have to tell me." So we tried Stadol. Is that what it is? Stadol, yeah, first.
It doesn't really do much.
Yeah, it just made me feel super drunk, and I don't drink, so I was like really uncomfortable because I was like, yeah. Oh, I don't like this. So that wasn't fun. Then I got my epidural. And right before I got my epidural, I was still like 2 centimeters. And my doctor came in, I think it was like 2 hours after my epidural to just to check. And I'm just eating a popsicle. And she's like, 9 centimeters. And I wanted to die. I was like, I'm not prepared for this. Like I went from 1.5 to 9 in 2 hours. And so she was like,
I'm eating a popsicle.
Yeah, I was just like chilling, like feeling good because I got my epidural. I did have a hot spot, but I was able to like work through that because I was so prepared to like go natural that it didn't bother me, which was nice. But she came back then an hour later just to check in and was like, do you feel the urge to push? Like, do you feel like you have to poop? Like, what's going on? No, nothing. And I was eating my Jell-O. I was so hungry at that point. I'd been in the hospital for so long. And so I asked her to check what station he was at. And she like put her hand up in there and she said, oh, well, we need to push now. So I had to throw my food away and he was like ready to come out. And so I pushed for 3 hours and the shift had just changed. And the midwife that I had never had her in my rotation in my office. And so I was really nervous, but as we were pushing and we were just talking about life. Like Amy said, I literally was just like a whole new person and life was great. And I was just talking. My husband's like, what are you literally have a baby coming out of you right now? And you're talking about your students and whatever. But my midwife, she actually goes to the church that I go to, which was really cool. So we like connected with that. But after the 3 hours he came out and he had his cord around his neck. He wasn't breathing. So they left him on me for like 30 seconds and then they had to take him because he hadn't cried. He hadn't moved. He hadn't done anything. Luckily the hospital we were in was a birthing center. And so they like did everything in the room. So I guess maybe luckily, not luckily, because I saw everything. But they had to give him CPR and they put him on a CPAP. But they let my husband go with him, which made me feel so much better, like knowing that he was there with him. To the special care unit.
Okay.
And by the time, I mean, it wasn't that far from our room, but by the time that he got into the room, like following them, he was already breathing on his own and they took him off and like his color, like his vitals were fine. He just needed some extra help getting started. So they actually were, they told my husband that they were going to let him come back to our room because he recovered so quickly and was fine. But then with me being GBS positive and they like just over evaluating him and stuff, they decided to give him antibiotics. So he had to stay for 48 hours in the special care unit, which was really hard because I didn't get to like do skin to skin with him. And whenever I went down to like meet him, it was like, oh, this is my baby. Like he didn't feel, I don't know. It was just like weird. Like I didn't feel like I felt connected to him, but at the same time, it was like,
he was gone. Like, he was there and then he was gone. And I was in the room for 3 hours before I got to meet him. So that definitely was really hard, having to spend that first time without him.
Well, I'm sure the emotions of the initial, like, I mean, I know just, I went through something semi-similar with Lainey, but how are you feeling about processing him coming out and not breathing and then them having to rush him away and seeing your baby getting CPR? And
yeah, it's been hard. I definitely have been like, I knew that it was going to be harder for me, like after everything happened, because I have like depression and anxiety. But going through that for most of my life, like I have some pretty decent coping skills. So I've been like allowing myself to like relive it and feel it. And like, when I see it, I don't like when it comes back, like I don't try to push it away because I want to work through it. And so I feel like I've been doing pretty well, like processing what happened. It's more so now just like every little thing, like my like postpartum anxiety is so bad because like of him coming into the world not breathing, like I'm terrified he's going to stop breathing at like any point, like anything that we do. I'm like, okay, is he going to roll over and suffocate? Is his chin going to go? Like, I just have a lot of like, you know, the normal like
anxiety. I want everyone who has felt that exact nonstop fear of your baby stopping breathing to put a sticker up or a reaction. Hit your thing, because I guarantee that a lot of these moms have. That's a very common. There's an old school movie called Terms of Endearment. If you've never seen it, it's incredible. It's Julia Roberts and what is her name? Anyway, when she has her baby, Deborah Winger, and whoever the lady is, I can't think of her name, but she has her, and like she goes and peeks in the nursery leaves, goes to the crib, then gets in the crib.
Oh my gosh.
Are you breathing? Because
that's so, how I feel.
They're so still.
Yeah.
They're so still. Well, I would tell you, if you haven't, there's a recording in the community that the Birth Trauma Mama came last week.
I just watched it like so 2 hours ago. It was so good. And so she said that I'm in Pennsylvania, and she said that she's licensed in Pennsylvania. So yeah. I was going to reach out to her.
She's incredible. I had her on the podcast too. I don't think it may have aired now, but she's really incredible, and I really like the tangible tools. Like, I've been using some of the tools just in my own anxiety about things. How's your husband doing?
He's good. He's fine. He's, yeah, I don't know. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
That's a lot for him to process too. So I'm sure he not only is he worried about babies, worried about you, you know?
Yeah, but no, he's been a trooper, and it's been good. I think it's easier for him to cope with it because he got to see everything and got to be there the whole time. So like, he saw like Callan start breathing like right away and got to see him, like got to be with him, like,
you know, that yet
in the special care unit. And I'm like laying on the bed and there's like all these people still coming in and out of the room. And like, I didn't even know that I had delivered my placenta. Like, it was just like so much going on and I'm freaking out, but he is literally down the hall with him and like smiling and like taking pictures of him. And so yeah. I think it was easier for him because he got to see how quick everything turned around, but I had to wait like so long.
That's exactly the reason why I don't like babies, and I love babies, but I don't like nursing as a baby, like in that career.
Yeah. Because
they are little sly devils. Like, they're not breathing 1 second and then they're like, and fine.
Yeah. And he was totally fine. And that's the nurse.
An adult, it's totally different. You have a process that they may not breathe and you can see, and they can be like, oh, I can't breathe. And then they can't breathe. Yeah. You can help them. But babies, they don't warn you. They have no thing. And then they go from not fine to fine to not fine. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was totally fine. Yeah. Like, as soon as he like started breathing on his own, his vitals were fine. He came off of his IV like super quick. And then he was literally just there for those antibiotics, which sucked because then it was like kind of like reinforcing the trauma, because at this point he was fine. He was literally in there for antibiotics, but because of everything that happened, like, it just kind of like made it seem 10 times worse than it was, because he was still away from me for so long.
Yeah, that's a lot. When did you get to come home?
So we went in Wednesday night and we got discharged Sunday at like 2 p.m. Okay. So it was it was a long stay.
Well, I'm super glad to see you, and I love hearing it, and I'm really glad that you have some coping skills to work through it. And I would say you're probably going to have some ups and downs, so make sure you reach out to some of the mamas in the community. I know that Kayla and, I mean, Susan still, she's coming over the other side, but she's been through hell and back, so I'm sure she has a lot that she could offer you as well. And there's a lot of moms on here that I'm sure you can reach out to that you can, you know, because a lot of times with the trauma, you're going to have those intrusive thoughts and like the replaying of the situation, and just always reach out. And you have your labor bat signal, so you can always reach out to us as well and just say, hey, this day sucks. Like, I'm really feeling this way, or, you know, or even this has been an amazing day. Like, you know, so.
Yeah. No, I'm super grateful. Like I said, for the community, it's been awesome. Just like having the support and knowing that there's people here to lean on, and yeah, it's been great.
Well, thank you so much for sharing. I saw another mama pop in here that's 1 week. So I'm going to try to have us kind of do it a little quicker just so we can go through. It's so hard because I want to hear every detail and ask all the questions, but I know all of you guys want to get a chance to share. So let me, who did I say was next? I think it was Sarah, right? Sarah, how are you? That baby's fuzzy little hair.
She's got a lot of hair. This is Serenity. we are 2 weeks, 2 days postpartum. So we're doing really good. We also kind of had a rough start. I was induced at 39 weeks. It was because of her. She needed surgery. But she's doing great. She had her surgery. But I was induced and was moving super, super slow, barely dilating, barely softening. Nothing was really going on, no matter what they did. And then my anxiety majorly kicked in, and I completely had a full breakdown. The doctor came in, my blood pressure, my heart rate, everything skyrocketed, like all of a sudden. And the doctor came in and she's like, how you doing? You know, what are you thinking? How you feeling? And I was just beside myself and said, I don't think that I can do this. What do I do if I can't do this? And she, of course, offered medications and stuff to try to help calm me, but I said, I don't think that I can continue to labor. I mean, at that point it had been like 8.5 hours and I was only 1.5 centimeters dilated and nothing. Like, there was no true progress. And my nerves were just totally shot already. So she said, you do have the option for a C-section. And of course went through all the risks and benefits with me. And I took some time and talked to my mom and my husband. And once that was on the table, and I knew that I had another option, even my husband said, like, my vitals stabilized again. And so I opted to do the C-section, which was not at all what I thought that I would want ever. But had the C-section, it went super well. They sedated me. Like, I was totally aware of what was going on, but I was higher than a kite. to the point that they were like, aren't you excited? And I was just like,
your husband's like, great, now what?
Yeah, he was like, are you okay?
She's not normally like this.
He's like next to me sobbing because he's so excited. And I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
But she did really well. We both did really well from that point forward. She latched right away, which was super exciting. I thought she would like immediately knew what to do, and we were rocking it. And then about 28 hours after I delivered her, about 28 hours, We were given 20 minutes notice that she was going to be transported to a different hospital for surgery.
Oh my goodness.
Which was never, ever the plan. And because I had a C-section, I couldn't leave. So 20 minutes later, they show up from a stat. I don't know. I'm in Pennsylvania also, so we have stat medevac. They showed up with full-blown gurney.
So blown away because you've been communicating with the surgeons and everything, and they never once told you that?
Never.
Blows my mind.
I have never been so furious and heartbroken in my entire life, especially because I felt like things were going really well considering. And she was totally fine. Like everything was checking out. She was voiding her bladder on her own, which she has a kidney issue, which was why all of this transpired. But she was doing really well. And so it was like not at all a medical reason. It was just poor communication, I guess.
I don't know. I feel like you need to, at some point when you process your emotions, write a letter to them. That needs to be dealt with. Like that, they had ample time. Because what you started with us in the middle of your pregnancy?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've known it since then. And I know you've had multiple conversations because I remember you going back and forth between what the OB was saying and what the specialist was saying.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel like, oh, by the way, we're going to take your baby to another hospital is a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really, honestly, traumatic. Yeah. So they showed up with the gurney, with an AED and like a whole bunch of equipment and a specialized NICU, incubator and everything.
I just can't believe it. They were just like,
we're taking her, and literally 20 minutes notice, no more than that. So my husband hurried up, grabbed all of his stuff, and he's like, I'm riding with you. Like, I'm not giving you an option. I'm coming with her.
Yeah.
And,
which means now you're alone.
Yeah. So I, of course, called my mom, and the hospital that they wanted me to deliver at is an hour plus away from where we live. So I, of course, called my mom and was just like, I need you to come, please come. I'm by myself. My night nurse at that point, it was in the evening after the shift change, she had just introduced herself to me, and she was really nice and wonderful. She sat with me and held me for the hour that it took my mom to get there. And it was really,
so that needs to be noticed too.
Oh my gosh, she was wonderful.
I would send a letter or a card to the unit, to the manager. Oh, yeah. Like, because what happens with labor and delivery is that more people send when they're mad than when they're glad.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. She was absolutely wonderful. Everyone that I had was absolutely wonderful. But she really went above and beyond, and I kept saying, you know, please don't let me take you away from the other moms that need you. And she said, you need me the most right now. I'm staying with you. So she was really wonderful. But so they took her to the other hospital. My husband was with her. They immediately hooked her up to a catheter and an IV and all that stuff. And it definitely traumatized him too, but in a different way.
Yeah. That's a lot to see with your newborn, with any child. It's hard to see your child in the hospital.
Yeah. Or sick. And thankfully his cousin came and was with him over at the other hospital. But they fasted her because they wanted to do surgery the next day. So the poor thing had just come into this world and then had to, go without eating and had all these things hooked up to her. And my husband wasn't allowed to pick her up or anything. So it was like a complete 180 from how things had been.
Yeah.
But she had her surgery and did really well with it. and we both got released from the hospital on the same day. So I went in very, very late Monday night. We didn't get released until, she was the one that got released last, but we didn't make it home until about 8 p.m. on Friday night. And I had been separated from her for two days or so. And
goodness,
I also kind of felt like I didn't know her anymore. Like I had barely gotten to know her. And then I felt like I had no idea what to do or who she was or if she was going to latch again for me, because they had been formula feeding her, which wasn't my plan either. But she's a trooper. And once I got reconnected with her, I felt 20 million times better. The first night was really awful. she was super fussy. She didn't want to eat. Then she did want to eat, and she just cried like all night. And I felt like I had no clue what I was doing at that point either. But we've made it through since then. And shockingly enough, my anxiety, which has been dreadful for a long time, but especially during my pregnancy, I have had no panic attacks. I have felt the calmest and happiest that I've ever felt in like 10 years. And I feel like we're handling things well now, but I definitely have that trauma. Like I saw a picture of someone else's baby in one of the NICU incubators hooked up to a bunch of stuff and just completely lost it. So there's still a lot of trauma, I think, that I need to process. But as far as like the normal day-to-day stuff with her, I feel really good. So
I'm so glad to hear that. I would definitely encourage you to watch the Birth Trauma Mama's workshop. It's really good. It was really good. I was listening while I was doing some other things. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so good. I just want to tell you guys, the people we have coming in, we meet every other Thursday as a team. And you guys might have seen, we have a new team member, Lene. She's a doula as well. She also does postpartum stuff as well. She's a mom of five. Her last babies are twins. She's in the community now as well. But we were talking about like Taylor's going, I'm sure she shared with you guys, fertility issues. And she saved up and went to a fertility specialist about 2 weeks before we had the one come in to teach you guys for free. And she was like, this is what I just paid for. Like, I literally just paid for this exact info. So we're really trying to be really intentional to get you guys like really good content and information in there that can help you along as this journey. And you may not need it when it's live, but like now you can go back and listen to it. So we're housing them in there so you guys have that opportunity. And pretty much everyone who comes in has other things like her. She is in Pennsylvania, and I would jump on that if you're able to meet with her, because, and she does, I think she does virtual inside of Pennsylvania. So I also met with another one that's here in Nashville, Ready Nest Counseling, and it hasn't aired yet on the podcast, but if you guys are, I think she does Florida, Indiana, and Tennessee. I could be wrong about that. I have to look back, but she's pretty incredible too. So there's definitely more and more trauma specialists that are coming up in the perinatal world, which is huge, huge. Even that they recognize there's a need is huge. So, well, thank you so much for sharing. And we're always here for you. I just can't, like, I was thinking about, like, I don't even really struggle with anxiety on a regular basis, like situational basis at times, but I feel like if I were laboring knowing that my baby is going to immediately have to have a major surgery, I'd be pretty darn anxious myself, you know, and all yeah. those unknown factors, you know, so sorry. And I'm glad, I'm proud of you. I think you made the right decision. It's all about making the right decisions for us in our birth. That's the whole point of having education, so that you can make that decision and be at peace with it. Well, thank you for sharing. As always, we always go over. So sorry, everyone. If you have something really pressing that you want to talk about, make sure you put up a sticker, but I'm going to head to Susan because Susan's been through the ringer. This one. Have you been on the postpartum happy hour at all since you got home?
Again? Yeah, I've been on it every week. Yeah.
Okay. Because I haven't slept mm-hmm. much. Yeah.
It was Taylor last time.
Yeah. That's what I thought. We fight over who gets to do it. She filled out her times before I did this time. I was like, oy.
Yeah. So our story is crazy. I've told the birth part once already, so I'll kind of do that quickly. So I had hypertension. They induced me at 37 weeks. I was trying to have an unmedicated birth. I ended up having an emergency C-section. I lost a lot of blood. Baby was fine. She was just very lodged in my pelvis. The C-section took like 15 to 20 minutes is what my husband said. I blacked out. I remember seeing her as soon as they pulled her out, but otherwise I don't really remember anything. I didn't do skin to skin. I didn't have her. I couldn't even hold her. I was shaking so bad for the first like 4 or 5 hours after birth. Thankfully my husband was around and did all of that. But it was very traumatic. I wrote about it on the website. So if you guys want to read all the details, it's there. But, then I went home for six. Yeah. I went home for 6 days. I still looked about 8 months pregnant. And so this is my first kid. I don't know anything. I know that you still look a little pregnant when you get home. I felt horrible.
I feel like you were on the postpartum happy hour that week and you were saying how intense the recovery pain was.
Yeah. So I suffer with migraines. I've had 4 surgeries due to nerve problems in my arm. Like I felt pain before. The pain after the C-section was worse than the contractions that I was having. And my contractions were really bad because I was on a high dose of Pitocin. So I got home and I felt worse than I did when I was having an unmedicated birth. Not fun. I was taking pain medicine around the clock. It didn't help. Wasn't eating. I didn't have fever. Hi, I don't know if you're hungry or not. You can't decide. It was just crazy. Something was not right, but we saw the doctor twice the week that I was home. And they said, you know, your abdomen's distended. And I mean, if you looked like you were going to touch my abdomen, I was like screaming and trying to fight you because it was so painful. So no one said anything. They just kind of let me go. I was wearing the like Depends for adults or whatever, just because moving was really hard. And I changed it. And then I walked from like one bathroom in my house to my kitchen and it literally was like my water broke. There was so much like fluid that came out of me. Hadn't really had any discharge. This was all new. It was disgusting. My mother-in-law was like, I could smell that across the house. Like something's wrong with you. Like you need to go to the doctor like right now. And this is like Saturday night at like 9 p.m. of course. So the hospital that we gave birth at has like its own emergency center. I don't know if they all do. So I went there. We were thinking like, oh, like some sort of uterus infection, like obviously kind of gnarly, but we weren't thinking that had been my best day. Like I had felt the best that day, or I convinced myself that I had felt the best that day. So we get there. They do my blood work. I still had some hypertension issues, so they were checking all that. They wanted to do an ultrasound just to be sure because my abdomen was still so distended. That was the most painful ultrasound I've ever experienced in my life. My husband said that the tech's face was just like, something is wrong with this human the whole time. She wouldn't speak to us, like nothing. They pulled me in for a CT after that. They hadn't really said anything at this point. And then the doctor came in after all of this and was like, yeah, you're being admitted right now. And I was still trying to process the traumatic birth that I had, which hindsight doesn't seem that traumatic anymore.
But so they admitted me back to the hospital and I'm like crying. Thankfully my husband's mom was at our house with Avery. So, you know, that was a little pressure off. But so they admitted us. All he said was, you have two very large abscesses in your abdomen and surgery needs to look at you today. And it's like 11:30 at night on a Saturday. So surgery came in and they're like, well, we'll redo the CT in the morning. See if anything looks different. And I'm like, so I'm a veterinarian. So like, I kind of understand medicine. I'm like, it's not going to look any different. It might look worse. It's not going to look better no matter what y'all do tonight. So Sunday they came back, we did another CT, looked the same. They decided our surgery versus radiology. They were trying to decide, do we place drains and try to drain it? Or do we do another full abdominal surgery? I wish I had said just do the surgery because they did the drains and the drains, the stuff inside of me was so thick that it couldn't drain. So I had two drains placed in my abdomen on Monday. This whole time, so I was in the hospital 9 days. I didn't eat until the 9th day. I was allowed chicken broth and water.
And this was right at Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah. So we went home Christmas Day, which was our due date. But anyway,
and separated from the baby,
I've lost like, yes. So I gained 30 pounds during pregnancy. I've lost almost 50, after all of this, but so they placed the drains, they didn't work. We thought that they were working because the next day Tuesday, I felt really good. Everyone's like, wow, you're so bright.
I remember you messaging us and saying that you felt a lot better.
Yeah, that was short-lived. At 3 a.m. on Wednesday morning, I woke up screaming because I was in so much pain. My husband's like, this is not okay. Like, this isn't just gas pains. Like, something's wrong. So the nurse came in. She's like, do you want morphine? Do you want this? And nothing helped. So I'm just laying there miserably crying until the doctors come in the next morning. They redid another CT Wednesday, and they said that one of the abscesses had drained entirely. They don't know why there was an abscess on my liver. They don't know where it came from, but it was there. And then there was one on my uterus that was attached to the incision from where they did the C-section. It was 18 by 21 centimeters. And I'm not a very large person. So it was basically like my whole abdomen was just this massive fluid-filled pus, nasty blah. So the drains didn't work. They did the CT again. They said that now, instead of having two large abscesses, I had a bunch of small pockets of fluid just all over my abdomen. Radiology wanted to try to place drains again. And I said, heck no,
like, hell no.
You're either cutting this out or I'm going somewhere else because this is not okay. So I'm miserable, still not allowed to eat anything. At this point, Avery had come a couple times, but I was like mentally defeated. I was exhausted. My body was like eating itself because I couldn't have any food. I sort of remember it and sort of don't. But eventually they decided to do surgery. So Thursday, they told me surgery would be at like 5 p.m. because they had something else that morning. And I was like, okay, cool. So my husband left at like noon to go get Avery so I could see her before surgery. And they came early, which is great, but so I was by myself when I left for surgery. So I called him really quick. I was like, I'm going in. I love you. Bye. Like, see you when I get back. And now you're farting on me. Wonderful. So they took me in for surgery. At this point I'm like, yay surgery, I guess, but I'm also terrified. We're trying to do it laparoscopically. Didn't work. They went in and immediately nicked my bowel. So they had to open that incision further, repair my bowel, go back in through my C-section scar. They placed another drain. So I counted, and all in all, I have had 7 different incisions. I have 2 holes and 2 like long scars. The surgery worked, I guess. I mean, I feel a ton better.
I'm home with Avery. I'm eating. I'm not having any more crazy discharge or anything. I'm still in pain, but it's more, I think, just all of the incisions that I'm trying to recover from.
Well, and they're kind of everywhere. From a cesarean.
Right. And so basically,
you still have a lot of healing if you hadn't had all of that.
Right. And so I'm 2 weeks post-op from the last surgery. So basically all over again, I'm only 2 weeks post C-section. But yeah, I think like looking back, I've actually processed it a lot better than I thought I would. I think because just being home and knowing how I felt before versus how I feel now, like I said, I couldn't hold my child. Now I can stay home, do everything I need to do by myself. The scars are something that I don't care about. There's a giant one down the middle of my belly. My husband was like, wow, that's kind of gross looking. And I'm like, oh, thanks, but it's fine. I don't care. I have a healthy baby. She was healthy the whole time. But the hardest part was after surgery and like when I started to recover and like everyone knew that I was going to be okay, there were a lot of people that were not certain I was going to live through all of this. And that sounds really dramatic to say, but if that abscess had ruptured, I don't think I would have made it, which is more terrifying than kind of all the stuff that I went through.
Yeah.
I've had a crazy birth and a crazy amount of complications. I've seen more of the inside of a hospital than I ever want to, and I work in one. I'm so happy to be home. But it's just insane. The general surgeon told me that he could write a book about me because he's never seen something like this before. And, yeah, so I don't know that I ever want to have another kid. Pregnancy was a breeze, by the way. That was like enjoyable. I loved it. But the whole birth thing. Yeah. We're considering adoption if we ever want more babies. Cause
I don't know if either of us
wants to go through that again.
Every time you were updating us, Taylor and I were texting each other like, oh my God, like what else does she have to go through? Like what, like right. There was just no words, like
yeah,
so much, but I'm super proud of you because you went through a hell of a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then it was nice that apparently the general surgeon, he didn't do my surgery, but he was the chief. So he came in the day of the surgery and said that I'd be in the hospital at least 7 more days. And at that point I had been there for 13 days, of like the 20 days that my child had been alive. And, so we were like, cool, I won't be home for Christmas. Like this sucks. Like I'm never going to eat again, you know, all these terrible thoughts. And Christmas morning he came in and he was like, if you feel like you can go home, I'm going to let you go home. But he made me go in like every day that week.
Yeah.
Just to, you know, make sure I was okay, remove the drains, all that fun stuff. I know. You just don't know what's going on.
When I first saw you on camera tonight, I was like, she has lost a lot of weight. I can see it on your face and your chest. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm almost 20 pounds lighter than before I got pregnant. And I was not a large person before I got pregnant. So, and it's not been fun, but I'm doing my best.
Well, we're super proud of you. You've been through hell and back, and here you are.
But look, she's so worth it.
She's definitely worth it. You're getting so many comments over here on this side. So anybody else have something they want to share with us? Because I know like we've kind of had some long stories, but that's how it is. And I love it here for you guys to have that. Anybody else have anything they want to update? How are you doing, Katie?
Doing pretty well. Brenna's doing a lot better. Well, she got her tongue and lip ties released on Tuesday.
Okay.
So she's a little bit swollen, but she's we're doing nursing and pumped bottles just to make sure that she's gaining enough. Because for a little bit there, the doctor was like, I'm so thankful for professionals that like, I know doctors are great. I'm so glad we have them, but I'm also very glad that we have the other, like a circle of care around us, like my pelvic floor physio and my osteo and my chiro and all that, just because my doctor jumped pretty quickly to, she's not gaining. Like, she has a recessed chin, and with her tongue and lip ties, she just said, maybe she's just not going to be a breastfed baby. And I'm glad that I knew enough to not right away jump to being really emotional about that. Yeah. It did feel emotional to know that she wasn't gaining. She's like a big baby. She's 9.92, but it took her 3.5 weeks to get back to birth weight just because of her tongue and lip and all that. So thankful that we could get the release done. It was done by laser, and it seems to be, she seems to be doing okay. She doesn't like the stretches, but
I was going to ask you, have you considered taking her to a chiropractor?
Yes. So yeah, she's seen, yeah, the chiropractor that I went to for the Webster technique leading up to the VBAC, like she also sees infants a lot. So she's doing body work with her.
Yeah, because that's one thing I learned in the last year. And then I just did an interview with, she does craniosacral massage.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, I'm mind blown right now. Like,
I'm learning so much. Yeah. So I'm just really thankful that I know enough not to just take the doctor's word at, like, we did need to pump and do bottles for a while, and I am glad for the guidance on that because she is gaining now. So, but she's also, I think she's latching a little bit better already, and it's only like 48 hours after. So
sweet. Well, I'm happy to see you. How are you feeling?
It kind of depends on the day. I was thinking about emotionally, I feel like some days it all depends on sleep. I think if I get enough sleep, I'm good. And other days I'm like pretty quick to get really annoyed or frustrated at my husband, usually for like the fact that he has more freedom and I don't know, just all these little things that seem like they blow out of proportion. Or like, household chores and just things that are little that don't need to be like blown out of proportion. It's either like the anger switch or the, I feel like crying.
I was about to guess that one.
It's like one of each of those days, maybe like per week at least.
Yeah.
But it's good. My son's been a bit of a handful. He's turning 3 on Saturday. So there's just a lot going on in our house, but it's like still just, I know you know, just how amazing this experience was compared to my first. So.
Yeah. For you first time moms, it is. Like, think about how exhausted you are caring for that newborn and then having a toddler who's very self-focused. They're just self-focused little people.
Oh, yeah.
And they do not care if you had an hour of sleep. They don't care if the baby finally went to bed and now you can rest. They want that, and they want it in that cup in that way. And if you don't do it right, all hell breaks loose.
Oh, and yeah, it's been amazing. My husband is on pat leave for a couple of months. So honestly, I wouldn't be doing that well, except that he's around and he's able to
hang out. It's really, I'm really glad to see, and I know you had some stress at the end of the pregnancy too, so
the biggest thing is I'm glad, like, I know she's gaining now. I still feel sad when I think about the week that I didn't really know that she wasn't, because I'm like, oh, was she hungry for a whole week? Like, that's really sad. But
I know exactly what you're feeling. I went through that with Lainey. Same exact thing. She had started, this is why I will tell all of y'all, I learned the hard way that if your newborn sleeps longer than they say for them to sleep, wake them up.
Well,
she started sleeping through the night, like, and she was breastfeeding great before she went to sleep, sleeping through the night, like 4.5 to 5 hours. And I let her sleep that. Then I'd wake her up, you know, we'd breastfeed or whatever, and then it was probably like 4 or 5 days in, like, I was changing her and I was like, oh my God, she looks really thin, like she's lost weight, because they can lose weight like that. And they give the really nice label of failure to thrive is how they label
it. I'm glad they didn't say that. I'm glad my doctor didn't use that word.
that's what they write. Anyway.
It's more, like, I'm just sad looking back at that. And then of course we did our family photos like right during that time. Like the more we did their family photos the morning of, like, the newborn pictures. And then that afternoon I was at the doctor's. So now I look at those pictures and I'm like, oh, she's smaller than she should be. But I'm trying to like let that go. Like, she's doing well now. And
I had to go through the same thing and imagine being a labor nurse.
True. Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, I didn't even know I was starving my own child. But you know, like, you're not a nurse when you're a mom. Like, when you're a brand new mom who is exhausted, you're not thinking like that. Like,
you know, and it wasn't awful. She wasn't losing weight. It was just, she wasn't gaining as much as she should be. So
Lainey lost a little, but she's still like, I've told you guys her story. She's just the tiniest little fairy you've ever seen. Like, she's so tiny, but anyway, Ashley, did you have something you wanted to ask or before we head off?
Yes, this is like a side note for all those mamas out there. Can you help me see if this is diarrhea?
Nope, that's normal.
It is?
Yeah.
Okay. It's just a little looser than it has been, so I'm like, oh no.
Yeah, that looks perfectly normal. All right. Newborn. I'm sure some of these other for breastfed baby, that's
Thank you.
Yeah. Where anybody, Brooke, what's going on with you? I saw someone say that sucks.
Oh, we're doing good. Not there. I just was saying when she was talking about the doctor and saying like failure to thrive, we started having that happen with us. But I was really thankful for all my other health professionals too. Like, we have a lactation consultant and my chiropractor who see him all the time. And I don't think that he ever really was failure to thrive, but he was just kind of finding where he was going to sit on the growth curve. And it was like, he's in like the 75th percentile for head and height, but in like the 14th for weight. And so he kept like every appointment being like, well, he's not gaining how he wanted to, but he was really just happily sitting where he wanted to be. He looked so healthy, he was meeting all his milestones, but he just kept like pushing and telling me like, you're not going to be able to breastfeed, and some moms just can't, and you really need to start supplementing. And I just really never felt like that was true.
That's just such a terrible thing to throw out there.
Yeah. So he told me like, if he can't like get more calories in him, he's going to be failure to thrive. And so it was really interesting, but we did end up getting his tongue tie done because he was struggling with his latch and everything, and it's helped. We did it a little later. And so I'm kind of, part of me is bummed we didn't do it earlier, but I'm glad that I like waited to see if it was really necessary. Cause I think had we done it before, I would have always wondered like, did we really have to do it?
Hers was pretty significant, and her tongue or her lip too, and it can affect their bodies in so many different ways I didn't know about, like tension.
Yeah, so interesting. So much.
So I'm glad you got it resolved. Lainey had it as well, but it resolved itself, and I think that kind of had a little to do with her weight as well.
I'm so glad we did it. It was rough because we took him to one guy because he had a posterior tie; it wasn't like all the way up. And I don't think really knew enough about it. And so he did it with the laser, but he didn't actually do it the whole way, or like didn't cut it right. So we had to wait 3 weeks and then do it again. And that was really traumatic for both of us. Like, I was struggling, and then he was like, he stopped sucking on his thumb and his fingers and like wouldn't take a pacifier. And it got pretty rough for a while, and there was a lot of emotions, but we're just like, today is we're like going into the fifth week since his revision, and it is so much better. So I'm really thankful, but it was a journey.
Well, I'm happy to see you. I've missed you. I haven't seen you in a while.
You know, life is so crazy, but I love it. So
yeah, it's a good crazy. It can be a hard crazy though. That's for darn sure.
Yeah.
Just so you guys know, we have Fearless Birth happening next week. And I really, really encourage you guys to get into the Facebook group with these mamas, because I've had so many new students tell me specifically one of you guys that spoke to them in the Fearless group, and that they were like, okay, this, you know, like, this is where I need to be, because there's just, it's so hard to understand that need for community. Like, it really is. When you're going, pregnancy and new motherhood can be so lonely. So I really would encourage you guys, and I have a form in the community that if you add your name to it and like tell the different ways that you're engaging, we decided we're gonna put most of the prize money into you guys instead of into the new group. So we gave away a couple gift cards last time, and I've been chatting with this company that said they're gonna donate some baby stuff and mama stuff, but they haven't gotten back to me yet, but hopefully by the end of the week, though, they will. So there's some pretty good sweet stuff, you know. Not that I want you guys to do it for that, but you guys, Amy knows my gift, my love language is gift giving. So I like to give people gifts. But yeah, so make sure you guys are in there and just chatting and, you know, like connecting with these moms. And we can all tell the ones in there that need a little extra, you know, the ones that are in the group. So, all right, guys, anybody else have anything they want to share before we hop off? Anybody have an update?
Hey, can I say something?
Sure.
Can you see me?
No. I see your name now.
Oh, there we are. Okay, hi. I'm folding laundry and having a wine spritzer.
Oh, that type of happy hour, Rebecca.
You know what? I'm doing what I can when I can, you know? I have a question about pumping, and then actually I have two questions, actually. One is about pumping. I've been back to work for a couple months, and I have to pump twice, basically, when I'm there. And I've been giving Peyton, 5-ounce bottles at home while I'm gone because it seems like she wants more. But I'm not able to, make 5 ounces every single time I pump. I'm learning that, at the end of my day, I can pump, a normal amount. But when I'm trying to do it in between, I'm not getting as much, maybe 2 or 3 ounces. Because I really think it's just kind of stress. I'm not relaxed enough to let down because I'm working, you know? So I wanted to know what your thoughts were, because I'm kind of between two things, or maybe there's a third option, but I'm thinking about pumping a little bit every single night to make up that amount, or just pumping for a longer time later on in the day, basically at night. On those days, but I don't know what your thoughts are about that.
Yeah, my first thought would be to try to maximize the amount you can get when you're at home. But I hate for you not to at least try for that normal time for that feeding during the day. But the other thing I was thinking, is there a way for you to create, I know you have your own business, so is there a way for you to make in that room, dim the lights, set up the oxytocin flow, you know?
Yeah.
Make it, maybe put on essential oils, just make it more conducive to, you know, because what I'm picturing is maybe you're running in oh, I can do it now, and trying to get it done. And then, you know.
Yeah, I'm trying to fold laundry while I'm doing it and stuff. So I've told myself I have to definitely stay more on time with my clients. And I might even block out 45 minutes instead of 30.
That's what I would do first.
Cause I have been bringing I have my phone, and I've taken videos of her crying, and that seems to help a little bit. But it gets super frustrating, cause I know cause I know I need to do something. Something's better than nothing at that time. But, I'm just it's frustrating because I'm I want to be able to pump enough for her.
And you think your flange size is the right size? Cause that's the other thing that I would check.
Well, I think so, because I'm able to do it later. You know what I mean? With that same pump. And I have the Willow, which I have a love hate relationship with this thing. It's so freaking expensive. Insurance did pay for some of it, but it's the one who sometimes she'll work and I'll get 6 ounces. And other times, you know, it's just 2 or 3, and I can feel the milk is in there. It's not coming out. So that's why I feel it's a letdown issue.
Anybody else have anything? Cause I had such a hard time pumping. I think now it was the flange size, because
I did change them early on, the flange size, when she was probably a couple months old, because I did have to pump originally just to after a few weeks to get more milk, because I was the same way, never failure to thrive, but they probably wrote it down and I didn't see it, thank God. Because I'm thinking at 9:30, maybe I'm going to just sit down and pump for a little bit to get, because I'm only short 2 or 3 ounces.
Yeah.
But then my other thing is if I pump and take that milk and she wakes up at 11 and wants to feed, am I taking that milk away from her? Or
so you're going to meet her demand. So, you know, the best surefire way to get more milk is to nurse her more, do skin to skin and get her and just let her nurse. Liz added something in there. Did you want to say that, Liz?
Yeah. Hey, Rebecca, make sure,
hey,
especially if you've been doing it for a while, make sure replace your parts. you may have, and if you're not pumping a ton, then it's not a big deal. But I noticed it with my Willow too, like if my parts are getting like to the 3 month mark and I only use my Willow twice a week, I notice a difference in my output doing that. So make sure, like, if it's been a couple months, try to replace them if you haven't.
Do you replace the whole like container?
You have the 3.0 or the
yeah.
I use the bags, but I replace definitely the flex tube. I think that's the biggest thing to replace. I don't know that you need to replace the whole container, but the flex tube is probably the big thing that makes it.
Yeah, I've got to be careful. I just had to clean it recently. There was like some mold on one part of it that I didn't even see. It was under the seal. I was like, this is disgusting.
Yeah.
But yeah, for the most part, I like it. And it's just weird because I'll get, like I said, like 5 or 6 ounces at one point, but the other time it's only like 2 or 3. So I feel like it's more of a, like I just don't relax enough, which I am. And it's funny because I am in, I mean, I'm doing massage therapy. And so the lights are dim and there's a bunch of oils going.
But it's your work.
But
you're exactly. working. It's your work environment. So
yeah.
Also, exactly. Make sure they're like lined up perfectly. I notice, and I love my Willow, but there are times where it just like doesn't get anything out. And I think it's like I'm not lined up perfectly. So if I'm like in a hurry and trying to put them on quickly, if it's not lined up perfect, I'll get like half of my normal output too.
Yeah, that's where I'm like, I love it, but I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm going to consider that.
Well, it's nice to see you too, Rebecca.
One last question. This might be very quick. Do you know anything about thyroid hormones and breastfeeding or anything like related? Like my thyroid levels keep going up and down and like I'm not changing anything except for the fact I still don't get any damn sleep.
Let me reach out to, I'm actually, you guys know that I've been trying to figure out who I really want to partner with as far as like breastfeeding classes and like, because I used to with Lindsay and then a big company bought her business. And I just am very like passionate about partnering with mom businesses, you know, like small shop, like mom businesses like mine. And so I trade out one and we just weren't a good fit. So if I don't have a good fit, I don't want to recommend you guys to them. But I met this other girl, it's Loyal Lactation. Her name is Sterling and I really like her vibe and how she approaches, very down to earth. And I didn't want a lactation consult. Like I've worked with some that like, you better not even talk about a bottle ever. You know, and so I don't want that vibe. I want someone who's really going to support what you guys choose. But I think I could, if you send me a message and word it, I'll send it to her and ask her.
Okay.
I really don't know too much about that. You know, the most I've dealt with people after babies is you guys. I usually have y'all for 2 hours and ship you over to postpartum. That's that. So, you know, like postpartum is definitely not my like, you know, the female parts for sure, but so send me a message with that and I'll ask Sterling, see what she has to say.
Cool.
All right, ladies, anybody else have something they want to jump on and say before, because I'm about to pee my pants. I got to go. I've been forcing myself to drink this and I finished it while we were talking and I'm dying right now. Anybody else have anything else they want to pop on and say? Nope. All right. Well, I will see you guys in Fearless Birth. Amy, you need to tell Emily to get into happy hour. When is she due? She had
due in March.
Yeah, she needs to come. She would love it.
Yes, I need to get her to come.
Yes.
Okay.
She has the classes and everything. So, okay. All right, you guys, I will see you guys next week, hopefully. Have a great week.